Michigan's Kalamazoo River has a colorful past. It used to be different colors on different days. Sometimes it was green, sometimes red, and sometimes white, depending on which wastes were being dumped into the water. And the stench was awful. I remember holding my breath whenever I had to cross the river on the way to someplace else. Like many rivers in the Great Lakes Basin, the Kalamazoo was an open sewer. Life magazine even photographed some ugly fish kills when waste from paper factories choked the river and robbed it of oxygen. It's not much of a legacy, not for a resource that once attracted an international host of anglers to its world-class fishery, including former President Theodore Roosevelt. The Kalamazoo and other rivers have long been major sources of Great Lakes pollution. Industrial waste, pesticides, and other contaminants have leached or been dumped directly into rivers feeding each lake. In Lake Michigan alone, toxins are found from the Manistiq River in Michigan's Upper Peninsula to the Menominee River in Wisconsin and Waukegan Harbor in Illinois. In some ways, the Kalamazoo, like other rivers, has made a great recovery in the last 40 years, thanks to tougher anti-pollution laws and millions of dollars spent to upgrade waste treatment facilities. Today, ducks float quietly on the surface, deer frolic in the shallows, and fish are practically everywhere. But we still have a long way to go. What's not so obvious is that eagles living along the river can't seem to keep their young alive, and fish are so tainted that health advisories are posted at every public access site, warning not to eat them. The problem is invisible, leftover PCBs in the river sediment and along the banks. The chemicals, once used in the production of carbonless copy paper and other products, often wash into the water when it rains or when the river rises and falls. Four paper-making companies were ordered to draft a plan for undoing the damage. They've proposed a $73 million effort to stabilize the riverbanks, monitor the breakdown of PCBs, and continue the fish consumption advisories. That's not good enough. For one thing, it only deals with part of the river. The rest would be covered in a later phase. Secondly, it doesn't really clean anything up. It only tries to contain the problem so it doesn't get any worse. That's the trouble with many proposals to eliminate sources of Great Lakes pollution. They avoid the real work needed for a thorough cleanup. The excuses are many: too costly, too time-consuming, or too risky if the work dislodges toxins that otherwise wouldn't move. Citizens shouldn't accept these excuses. We should demand that polluters clean up after themselves, completely. What's good for rivers like the Kalamazoo is good for the Great Lakes. We need to act responsibly when deciding how to restore our resources. After all, our children and grandchildren will live with the consequences of our actions.